Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning is June 17, 2018. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Today's message is a Father's Day message, and that's the title of the message, is a Father's Day message. I bring in that message because of the fact that it is Father's Day, but when you stop and think of it, shouldn't every day be Father's Day? We should be praising our Father. And I don't mean me, as in a father. I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. We just want you to know, folks, thank you for being here. God bless you. It's always good to have people come out and listen to the message. We have some prayer requests, and I'll get there. But before we do, I have a song for you this morning, as always. So we're going to go there. But while we're getting ready and everybody's getting their chance to get here and finding the scriptures they need to be on, we're going to go in 1 Corinthians. So if you put your finger there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. And I'll continue, like I said, when we get to that. But this morning we have a song for you. It's called Father, I Adore You. Pretty decent song. It takes a couple of minutes. And I'll end it before it gets to the end of the song because it takes 3 minutes. So I want to stop at around 2. But thank you for being here, and God bless you. Thank you for listening. Like I said, I want to cut that short at 2 minutes. I'd go longer, folks, with all of the songs, but, you know, we only have the 30 minutes. And it's important to get God's word out. As much as it is to have spiritual music that puts us in the right mood and helps lift us up and helps us to, as the song says, adore our Father in heaven and give us that spirit of calm and the ability to worship properly and ability to love the Lord even with music. But, you know, folks, some folks don't have the blessing that a lot of us have. Some don't have a father. Their father has already passed. Maybe their father died in the war. Maybe their father died in one of the more recent tragedies that are going on in the world. But, you know, sometimes because our father can't be with us here today, doesn't mean that we can't be loved by somebody. By a father, by a father figure. There are children that grow up all around the world with no dad, and it's a sad thing. And we should, as men, be willing to help those fatherless children the best we can, as the Bible says. We're supposed to help the widows and the fatherless, and I think that's what the Lord meant by that, because we're the stronger, we're here, we're the stronger vessel between men and women. And that doesn't mean that women are weak. That has nothing to do with that. I know there are people that believe that, and that's not the case. That's not what's meant by that in Scripture at all. God said men and women are equal, and he meant that. And when it comes to a father figure in the life of children, we need to have that. You see, if little boys grow up without a dad, we see how that turns out for them. We've seen the problems that come from that. The anxiety, the depression, they call it now ADD and ADHD, and the discipline problems and the lack of respect and the lack of authority for authority. There's a lot that goes along with the father being the father figure in a household. There are fathers that shouldn't be fathers, and we know that. There are some that just aren't ready to be fathers or never will be ready to be fathers. And I'm not going to go down the line of picking on any. I just know that I've heard it from people that my family's a mess. I don't love my dad. I can't stand him. I've heard all these things. And I say to myself, I lost my parents when I was 21. I may not have had the picture-perfect family, as some would think, but my dad was there for me many, many times when he didn't have to be. And many times when he wasn't able to be, I still loved my dad. He was still there. He was still my dad. And that's what we should have for a respect for our dad today, is that no matter what kind of a man he was, we have to remember that the devil can turn a good man bad. That's something we should remember, folks. Many a good men start out with the best of intentions of following through as a man. And don't ask me why or how or what happens, but the devil gets in there and ruins families. But you know, we have our Father in heaven. We can look to him for the compassion and the love that he gives us and the ability to forgive like we're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to forgive those that use us and despitefully abuse us. And I'll tell you, folks, there's much of that goes on in society. But for the most part, our Father in heaven loves us so much so that he puts a man in the pathway of children to be a good father, to be that good character, to show love, to show compassion, to show affection, and to be able to be there when the child needs you. Now, in our world today, you have to be careful what that means when you say a father should be there when the children need him. It's not just for the finances. It's not just for somebody to be there to discipline him. It's for somebody there to be there and show the child how to be loved, what it means to be a man, and how to express love. Okay? Today we have all of this mixed gender stuff going on, and I'm going to not go down that, but you know what I'm talking about. You can't have a proper relationship in those kinds of relationships, and I don't care what anyone tries to tell me. It's not scriptural. If it's not scriptural, therefore it must be junk, and it must also be false teaching. There's a reason God chose a man and a woman to be the family as a whole, the mother and the father, male and female, having children, and not male and male or female and female, adopting or having children and then raising them without the proper gender in the relationship. God has a plan for us, folks. Believe me when I tell you. But now there's things even in my own life. I'm not a perfect man. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. I've been a lot of different things in my life. And one of them was I wasn't always a good father. But I was always there. I was always available. I may not have been the greatest. I may still not be the greatest dad in the world. And maybe not even to my own children at times. But I did the best that I knew at that time. Even when I was in my worst state, I tried to be a good dad. That much I can hold true to. The Lord above knows my heart. He knows where I was at what point in my life and how I wanted to be there for my children. And that's what a good father does. He may be a lot of things, and I won't go down the list of what he could be, but I've always tried to steer my children in the right way according to Scripture. And if my children are honest, they'll tell you exactly that. And sometimes they might be that, well, I wish my dad wasn't so committed. I wish he didn't go to church so much. I wish he didn't go to Bible study so much. I wish he didn't try to jam the Bible down my throat. You may hear that from my children. But they know that I had good intentions, and they know that it was because of Jesus Christ that I did change, that I did become a different person. That's what being a good dad is. It's not serving the world and all of its possessions and all of the needs that we think we have to need. Many people take their children on vacations, like this coming few months next now with the kids all getting out of school, and the dads will do everything they can to get money to take a family on vacation, to spend a lot of money instead of spending quality time. They'll go places and they'll see a lot of things, and they'll do wonderful things with their kids, but do they sit down and share the gospel with them? Do they sit down and explain the reason why it's so important to know Jesus Christ? Do they bother to say, listen, if you do all these things, God will bless you? It's not important that you go to places like the Disney World or the great water parks around the world or whatever it is that your family does. If they're not spending quality time with you, one-on-one, sharing with you the gospel, and then sharing with you outwardly the love of Christ, where they witness to others or do things as good deeds to help others, not for to be paid for, but because that's what Jesus asked of us. I'll share the scripture with you, and I want you to see this, and I hope you'll get something from it. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you'll see, folks, that there's a lot there that has to be shared. And it's such a short space of 3 verses, I believe that you can get the idea that it's important for a dad to be in the life of his children. In chapter 4, verse 14, it says, I write not these things to shame you. In other words, these words aren't to point and say, if you'd have done this, you'd live better. Or if you've done that, you wouldn't be sinning against God and maybe heading on the wrong path. He says, look, I write these things to you because he doesn't want to shame you. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. You see, we want to warn our children against the dangers of the world. You see the 2 things there so far? I'm not trying to mock you or shame you or make you feel like you're a fool or any of that. I'm trying to tell you what's right and what's wrong. When we look at verse 15, it says, for though ye have what? 10,000 instructors in Christ. There are many folks, many, many people that will give you instruction about what's in the Bible. But I can tell you this. Let's look at the rest of the verse. But as my beloved sons, he says, I warn you in verse 14 and 15, he says, yet have ye not many fathers. You don't have many fathers. You have many people trying to tell you right from wrong, but you only have one father. Here it's talking about the Father in heaven. And he says, and that's why it's important to read the Bible, folks. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. And I'll explain begotten so you're not confused in a few minutes. He says, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. He says, listen, because of Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, I am doing this. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, I beg you, be ye followers of me, is what I've tried to say to my children. I'm not perfect. Don't follow this. This is wrong. Don't do that. That is wrong. But follow me. And here he says, as your father, he says, you have but not many fathers. Wherefore I beseech you, I beg you, be ye followers of me, of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this. It's not written in there, but that's what that means. I won't interpret it. I'm not misinterpreting it. I'm telling you, rightly dividing the word, that that's what that means. It says, follow me. Follow who? Follow Jesus Christ. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You see, he's saying here, Paul's saying, listen, I go everywhere, in every church, wherever I am, I share the gospel. You see, and he says here in Timotheus, what's it say about Timothy? It says, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord? How could he have been faithful in the Lord if his own father was not? How could you know Jesus Christ if someone has not taught you? How could you just go about your life never knowing anything about Christ or what it means to be a Christian if you don't read your Bible? And we'll go back to here in verse, it says, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Because when we read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us what the Bible says. And who gives the Holy Spirit the instructions? Our Father in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you what it means to be begotten, folks. Because, you know, I had a little bit of a trouble understanding that myself. I always do. And then I always go look up these things. I try to figure out after I forgot them for I don't know how long. How do I go about understanding this? But here's what it says in a dictionary that I found online. Begotten. Something is begotten when it has been generated. And then it says by procreation. In other words, it's been fathered. You see, the Bible has been generated. It's procreated. The people, the men, the fathers are procreated. How do you get procreation? The Bible says we're supposed to procreate and we're supposed to create families and we're supposed to be raising them properly. And it says here, it says been fathered. Two men cannot father a child. Two women cannot father a child. The only thing that can father a child is a male and a female. There is no other way to do that. In fact, even in nature, in the animals, it takes both. Takes a male and a female. So you see, that's why I say this stuff is garbage they teach you. These 10,000s of so-called Christians running around the world teaching you about how God is love and it doesn't matter. You need to love one another. And if you love one another, it don't matter if you're male and female. Well, that only goes so far. It does. They stop you there. They don't pay attention to the rest of the Bible, folks. But here, look, it says, a somewhat old-fashioned adjective, begotten is the past participle of the verb beget, which means to father or produce as offspring. And that's what gives us a father and mother figure. You might recognize this word from John 3:16, one of the most popular and most often quoted Bible verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, this begotten is the offspring of who? God. God gave us Jesus, and Jesus is God's offspring. That's what makes a father. Now, we're going to go back to our message, and I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy. In chapter 4, verse 9, we're going to go there. I want to show you something, folks. As always, I try to get the word out, folks. I don't know if I ever make enough sense to you, but I sure hope I do. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The word tells us that the Lord our God is one Lord. That means there isn't many more. There isn't other gods. There's only but one. There's only one Father in heaven. And he's the father of all Christians, all believers, all followers of Jesus Christ. He is our father and our only father. We don't get any other folks. So you see, even when a woman gets mad at her husband or the husband gets mad at the wife and they separate and divorce, you realize if you had children together, you didn't divorce the children? You know how many families have that problem and they use the children against one another and then before you know it, they've caused so much confusion in the household that even if a child wants to go along with what's in the Bible, he's already learned to be rebellious. He's already lost his respect. He's lost his loyalty to the family, his commitment to the family, and possibly for the rest of his life may not even want to be bothered with a family. But it all goes back to the same thing. You fell out of love with your true father. Your true father is the one in heaven. And if you were following him, what the Bible says, you would know that the Bible says that you must hold out, you must stay strong, you must give up your anger, don't go to bed angry at one another, work out your differences, have some compassion for one another, realize we're not perfect, and work through all of your issues. And yeah, I'm not saying that there aren't relationships that should never have been, but yet they are. But they started out wrong. That's why they're wrong from day one right to the end. Now, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, verse 4, the key here is a father should teach his children in the will of the Father in heaven and all of the life of Jesus. What better can a father ask than that his children grow up to love and praise the Lord? Look at here in verse 4. It says, "The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." You see, if we love our own fathers that much, we respect them, we obey them, and we do as we're supposed to. And, you know, if we don't raise up our children in that manner, where we raise them up to love us, to respect us, and then not be so harsh to our children, but show them love and compassion, our children will see that we're doing what's best for them and not against them. It says here in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." You see, these words of the Bible, I command you to read them, is what he's saying. I give you these words to teach you, is what he's telling us. Our Father in heaven wants us to know him. He wants us to know all about him. He wants us to feel blessed. He wants us to have all the good things that he has for us in his will, not ours. Verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." That's these words. If you raise up a child and teach them about the Bible, teach them about Christ, show them how good God is, and show them the respect that you have for the Bible, for Jesus Christ, in how you should live, your children too shall grow up with them. And here's what it says, "And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." That means when we're around, we should be speaking of the Bible, not playing video games. Not that there isn't time for that. Not that we couldn't watch a good, wholesome family movie, but most of the junk that's on TV today has too many things in it that cause confusion, and you know what I'm talking about. "And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down," it says, "and when thou risest up." You see, even when we're out and about in the world, we should be sharing the gospel, and our children should see that in us. And it doesn't matter if when we're laying down and we're praying, and it doesn't matter if we're raising up and we're saying praise God for another wonderful day, we should be doing that always. And our children should know it. We should be joyful in the Lord. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes." In other words, we should be straightforward with all that we do in Jesus Christ, and it should be so apparent that, like people say today, you wear your heart on your sleeve, right? And some people would say, well, listen to the way you talk, and they'll see whether you're a Christian. And that's because when we do these things, if we're going about our life properly, they show outwardly. "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates," it says in verse 9. In other words, people should know that you're a Christian by the way you live, by the way you act, by the way you talk, by the house and the way you take care of yourself. There's much that's to be said about the way the world lives today. They live with all these things, and they show how they're greedy and don't care about anyone else. They don't show the love of sharing with one another. I thank you for letting me share that message. These prayers that I have for you that I didn't get to, I'm going to right now. Please keep my wife and I in prayers. We're going to travel this week for a day or two. Okay? So keep us in prayer. We're going to visit my granddaughter because she's graduating. So pray for my granddaughter's graduation on Tuesday, that everything goes smoothly, that she has a good time, and all the family members that come, everyone has a good time together. Please pray for my friend Becky, who's traveling. She's out in Minnesota right now. Please pray for her, that she's able to get home safely and has a good time out there. Pray for Pete and Tiffany Gould, who's traveling back from New Hampshire. They're out at Bike Week this week over in Laconia. And all of the other bikers that are traveling today, that they all get home safe, that no one has any problems getting home. Maria Capra Fulton asks, peace and harmony in her life. You know, folks, we have a lot of people that have a lot of things going on, and life's out of control for them. I hear unbelievable things this past week. Relationship problems, family problems, loss of loved ones, people being sick, people being ill. Pray for Star Uphold, whose dog just passed away on her. She lost her husband not long ago, and now she lost her dog. And her dog was one of those things where even in all of that time without her husband, not that the dog could replace that, but you know what I'm talking about. It gives you a sense of comfort. Someone to love, someone to hold on those days when you just want to cry and you don't want to cry to a human. Dog was her, that was her strength to some degree. Now, Star's a Christian. Her real strength's in the Lord. She knows it, and I know it. So does everyone that knows Star. I'm not trying to replace anything with that, but I know that her heart is broken for her dog right now. Please pray for all of those that are graduating, especially the graduating classes who go out and have parties at night, that these children won't do foolish things by drink and drive or do drugs and get hurt and become addicted, and then they end up overdosing. And all the other things that go with that, folks. And you know what I'm talking about, the male and female stuff that happens out in the world. They're not committed to Christ, or they wouldn't allow those things to happen. They get caught up in them, and like I said before about the Father, the devil knows your heart as well as God. He knows your sins. He knows what he can use to draw you in, suck you into a bad time, and turn you into a bad person. And it doesn't matter whether you're a good father or not. If your child isn't following Christ, that child could be a problem down the road. Listen to this, folks. I have one more verse for you that I want to read to you, and it's from Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. We only get this glory by raising our children right. And by this, I'm talking about teaching to love the Lord, have respect, and give respect. Our children should respect family, their elders, the elderly folks. They should respect people anyways, and then mostly authority, be it their father, their mother, the church, the pastor, the elders in the church, the elderly people in society, people in society. When you are raising up your child in the Lord, they learn to show respect for others, because they want to be respected by the one and only Father they really have is the Father in heaven, because we all belong to God. People will do a genealogy, and they will see in the genealogy that all of their relatives go back to somewheres, right? Well, all of us go back to Adam and Eve, and where did Adam and Eve come from but the Father in heaven? So you see, our real father is the one in heaven. The rest of them are family members. And we should respect them all and love them all just the same as he loves us. I thank you for letting me share that gospel. Fathers, I hope you have a great day with your children. And like I said, children are the glory of the Father. And the children that we have should love us the same. It says here, they're a crown of old men, and my children certainly are. Thank you for letting me share with you. God bless you. I will be back next Sunday with another message. I have another song for you that I want to play. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook, and we can go there. And if you have any questions or comments, we can share there. But this one is You Are My All in All. I think you'll like it. I'm going to let it play out right through. It's almost 3 minutes. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day. Thank you.
Amen.